You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Over the past 10 years, no other state made deeper cuts by percentage to environmental protection funding than Wisconsin. We'll check out a recent report on what those reductions looked like and how they could affect public health in our state. That's coming up. First, it's the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears-Poisson. Your support is so important. It powers the programs that keep you in the know and entertained.
That's how WPR works. The people who use it are the largest source of funding for it. You've been meaning to give, so do it now. This is the last day of the drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 25 donors. That's fantastic. Thank you so much to everyone who gave. The goal this hour is to get 25 gifts again. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on.
So let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time. So here's an idea. Let's start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What does public radio mean? It means listener-supported radio. While we do appreciate business contributions and federal and state tax dollars, listener support, your support is the largest source of funding for all WPR programs. Your contribution of any amount really does matter at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, we have an exciting drawing for a $500 travel agency gift card. You'll have five chances to win. Where would you go? I have some ideas. Rob and I can't win, but...
No, me neither.
I said... I said Rob and I can't win, so neither of us can win, but you might. No contribution is necessary. You can see all the details at WPR.org/drawing. But better yet, while you're there, you can make your gift and you're automatically entered when you make that donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last day of this winter membership drive, your last chance to pick up the new Wisconsin Public Radio t-shirt. Ask for it when you give $10 a month or more or a $120 one-time gift if you want. Ask for the t-shirt when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Everything you hear on the Ideas Network and on Central Time is the result of thoughtful preparation. We do our homework and our guests do as well so that you get the highest quality radio programs possible. So show your commitment to this quality. Commit now when you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before, here is what to expect. It's a short process. It takes just a few minutes. You answer some basic questions, your name, your address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay it.
And that is it, really. It is that simple. So make that first donation to WPR now. You'll feel great about it because listener support is such a big part of what makes WPR possible. Many first-time donors give $10 a month or $120, but the amount is totally up to you. What's important is that you give this last day of the drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Already, we've gotten our first three gifts toward our goal of 25 for the hour. Thank you so much. Have you got us started? Now, how about you? You make it all possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, like Central Time, you'll have five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sustainers who are already making ongoing monthly gifts, you are automatically entered.
If you're not already a sustainer, you can become one right now. It is easy to set it up. Monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jonathan in Mazamani says, our dogs are excellent critical thinkers with extraordinarily well-rounded knowledge on a wide variety of subjects thanks to WPR, and so are we humans. Jonathan, thank you. Thank you to your dogs. I'm not sure who pledged, but guessing, Jonathan, what with the opposable thumb issue?
Could be easier.
Could be easier. But you can join Jonathan and the dogs by showing your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations. We count on you to help pay for it all. Make your very important gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of the Ideas Network. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. A recent report shows that in the past decade, no state cut a bigger percentage of its environmental protection budget than Wisconsin. According to the Environmental Integrity Project, Wisconsin shed 36% from 2008 to 2018. That amounted to about $22 million. The report's authors say that cuts to state environmental agencies are a tax effectively on public health and natural resources. Now the group is calling for action. Eric Schaefer is executive director and co-founder of the Environmental Integrity Project. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Before we dig into Wisconsin, give us the national view. I think you went to the contiguous 48 states here. What are we seeing when it comes to trends for state spending on environmental protection?
Mostly down. And we started with the knowledge that the federal Environmental Protection Agency's budget's been cut, and that EPA's workforce at the federal level is as small as it's been since 1987. So there's been a lot of shrinkage there. And what we were hearing is, well, states will pick up the slack. You know, we're giving power back to the states to protect the environment. And so we thought we'd better look at how much states were spending and whether they'd been able to keep up. And we focused, I just want to point out, on the pollution control programs, not on things like parks and recreation, which are also very important. But we were looking at the funding for people who protect air and water quality in states like Wisconsin, and we found it was down in almost every state.
Let's look at Wisconsin now. You found the biggest proportional cuts here in the state. Can you talk a little bit more about your findings in Wisconsin?
Sure. The state had, according to the data we pulled from the website, the budget data, a little over $91 million in 2008. For pollution control programs within the Department of Natural Resources. And by 2018, that had dropped to about $69 million if you adjust for inflation, because the dollar gets less valuable over time. It amounts to almost a 36% cut in spending.
What does something like that look like on the ground? What do you worry is lost if you see that kind of spending cut?
Well, let me give you examples. Specific to Wisconsin, the Clean Water Act, I'm talking about the federal law that dates back to 1970, says the goal is to get our rivers and streams fishable and swimmable so they can be used by the public, enjoyed by the public for recreation. The state's 2018 report says that you have not completed your assessment of water quality for the nearly 43,000 miles of rivers and streams you have, to figure out whether they're okay for recreational use for almost any of them. There were a little over 100 miles have been assessed. You've got 43,000 miles where whether or not they meet the goals for recreation, that, you know, people can swim in them, it's okay, that assessment hasn't done. You've got nearly 1 million acres of lakes. A third of those don't meet the water quality standards for recreation. Basically, they're limited in terms of your ability to swim or boat or fish in those lakes. And a lot more of that acreage is the quality of that of those lakes is just unknown. So, it does take money to protect the environment. And when you see shrinkage like that, and when you have problems like not knowing whether your state meets a Clean Water Act standard that was enacted in 1970, and pretty much all of your rivers and streams, you should worry.
Now, most of the time period you covered in this report was under former Governor Scott Walker in Wisconsin, and the argument from the outset was the state is over-regulating. We are putting onerous burdens on private business. It's hurting the economy without necessarily having the kind of payoff in environmental protection that we would hope for. What would you say to that argument?
So the Bureau of Labor Statistics used to keep data on businesses that cut jobs. And it would ask them every year in a survey, why are you doing that? Why do you have these layoffs? And on the list, you would see regulation. That was barely an asterisk. What these business owners would report is, you know, they laid people off because of mergers and acquisitions, or because they wanted to automate, or sometimes just because of competition. But you just didn't see regulations of any kind, you know, not to mention environmental rules, really emerge as any kind of big factor in terms of, you know, laying people off and losing jobs in a state. I know that's a concern. My uncle was a plant operator in a coal plant his whole life, and losing blue-collar jobs is something we all need to worry about. It's just that the environmental regulations aren't really driving that. The studies just haven't shown it.
We're talking to Eric Schaefer from the Environmental Integrity Project. They came out with a report showing that Wisconsin led all states in environmental protection funding cuts, especially for pollution controls, looking at it by percentage from 2008 to 2018. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to this report and the information you're hearing from our guests? Do you have questions about it? Is there an environmental concern that you're particularly worried about here in Wisconsin? What priorities do you want to see at the state level in particular when it comes to environmental protection and pollution controls? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about a recent report from the Environmental Integrity Project. It shows that from 2008 to 2018, Wisconsin cut its environmental protection budget by 36%, the biggest percentage cut in the nation. Eric Schaefer is with us, executive director and co-founder of the Environmental Integrity Project. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, your reactions, and what you think the state should be doing when it comes to environmental protection, what the biggest concerns you have are. Call in at 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Steve is with us in Stoughton. Steve, hello.
Hey, good afternoon, and thanks for the conversation. So my biggest issue with the current legislature is that we seem to roll back environmental standards and regulations, especially around groundwater. And then we find out we have a problem. And then everybody's all up in arms that we have to do something about it. And recently, I think there's been $10 million or something to study groundwater. Well, it's because we've relaxed standards on manure management, and we've allowed more water withdrawal up in the sandfill part of Wisconsin. And so it just strikes me that, you know, we do all this in the name of trying to create jobs and trying to improve our industrial outlook or manufacturing outlook. And then we take a step backwards, and then we have to spend money to fix it.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Also concerns about the chemical PFAS contamination in groundwater lately. Eric, can you talk about groundwater protection from pollutants in particular?
That is a great example. You get pollutants, especially chemicals like PFAS, into groundwater. It takes forever to clean it up, and it's unbelievably expensive. And we've seen that movie over and over again across the United States. Much cheaper to prevent hazardous chemicals from getting into your groundwater than waiting until they do and then finding out you've got a billion-dollar cleanup job. And that's what we're facing with PFAS. And we're seeing that at coal plants where the, you know, coal ash was stored improperly and all the toxic metals leached into the groundwater. You know, we don't have enough time for all of the examples, but it sure is a big problem and a great example of how you can be penny wise and pound foolish.
Thanks for that call. We'll go now to Jim on the line in Waukesha. Jim, hello.
Hey, how you doing today? I tend to agree with you that the lack of resources for Clean Water Act regulation in Wisconsin on the state level has been reduced over the last 12 years or so. But on the other side of the coin, I think one of the things that the Department of Natural Resources has done very well at is regulating pollutants from point source discharges, like municipalities and industries, and to a certain degree, the CAFOs, the confined animal feeding operations. So I guess I would ask your guest to speak a little bit about that, because that's one way that you can look at a level playing field for all 50 states, because in most places, probably 99% or 95% of the states have to issue permits to their discharges. And I'd like to have him speak to that issue.
Jim,
and I'll hang up and listen to his answer.
Thanks, Jim, for the call. Eric?
So You know, the Clean Water Act and the Cleaner Act, too, for that example, are set up so that states do the actual issuing of permits. So they review the applications, decide whether the applicant is going to meet the requirements, sometimes impose additional requirements. And I think Wisconsin over the years has shown a lot of competence when it comes to permitting facilities one by one. I think the part of the problem with the loss of resources is I know a lot of scientists were laid off from lots and lots of news coverage of that issue a few years back. That means you lose your capacity to look at rivers and streams and really know what's going on with water quality and know what needs to be done. So that's why, for example, you have almost none of your streams have been assessed for whether or not they're suitable for recreation. That's a big first step you have to take before you decide which sources need permits. And even with the progress on permitting, there are thousands of miles and hundreds of thousands of acres in the state that aren't meeting water quality standards, and that means more needs to be done.
Jim, thanks for the call. Go to Mary Kay now in Kenosha. Mary Kay, hello.
Hi. I believe that Wisconsin can win and win at this because you can have a good economy and a good environment by building more wetlands around our cities to stop the erosion, okay? Put the natural fish back in their habitat, natural plants back in their habitat, and we'll have cleaner water, okay? We'll have more jobs. We'll have tourism, okay? And you put filters in and on buildings and you have cleaner air. You just have to clean the filters, okay? So I think that the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act actually create jobs.
Mary Kay, thanks a lot for the call. Your thoughts there, Eric? She's talking not just about pollution control, but also wetland conservation and restoration.
Makes a big difference. Recreational industries are really important to, I think they're especially important to Wisconsin, but they're really important in a lot of states. They draw people to hunt and fish and birdwatch and sightsee. And be honest, I mean, people want to live in areas where the environment is attractive and safe and has you walk outdoors and you get this, you know, rich variety of wildlife. It's definitely a draw. Cities are a good example where we had incredible algae problems and, you know, mats of floating dead fish. And there was a lot of cleanup on city waterfronts, and that had a major impact on economic revival of some of the downtown areas near harbors.
Mary Kay, thanks for calling in. And Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure.
Eric Schaefer is the executive director and co-founder of the Environmental Integrity Project. We talked to him about their recent report on environmental protection funding in states. It shows that from 2008 to 2018, Wisconsin led the nation in funding cuts, dropping 36% of its environmental protection budget. Coming up after the news, the Boy Scouts of America recently filed for bankruptcy protection amid a wave of potential sexual assault lawsuits. We'll talk about what that means for the organization, local councils, and for victims seeking compensation. First is Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Judith Sears-Poisson is in the studio with me. Your contribution keeps Central Time and WPR going strong. $10 a month, $100 a month, every gift in any amount makes a big difference because the largest share of funding for our programs comes from people like you. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have a little over a half hour left to get 18 more gifts this hour. Our goal is 25. You can be one of those 18 that we are looking for. It is the last day of the drive, last chance to show your support for Central Time. Your gift right now is really important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Now, we just got a national perspective on state-level funding for pollution control in that last conversation and where Wisconsin stands up in that comparison and what that then could mean for the state, the environment, the quality of life. This is the kind of enlightening conversation and caller interaction you can count on here on Central Time.
WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
A great way to support Wisconsin Public Radio is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or from your credit card.
Many people give $10 or $20 a month. You choose whatever amount is right for you. The important thing is to consider becoming a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is the last day of this membership drive, your last chance to support Central Time and all of your other favorite programs during the drive, and your last chance to get in on this drawing for one of five $500 travel agent gift cards, something you can use maybe for your next bit of travel. Make that gift and get entered automatically right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Michelle in Westby says, I realized I listened to WPR every day and thought about how much I enjoy the variety of topics. It was time to show my love for the public radio I treasure. Well, Michelle, thank you so much. Are you like Michelle? When you think about it, do you listen more than you might think you do? If you do, if you appreciate what you hear and when you hear it, show your support now on this last day of the drive. 888-202-2552, WPR.org. Wow, that you'd think I'd know it by this time. It's right behind your head.
It's right behind my head, too. It's just hovering up there in the air, isn't it? Yeah, you can make your very important gift. You count on these conversations each and every day. They're a part of your life, a part of your routine, maybe your commute, your cooking, your morning get-up-and-go routine, whatever it is. We're glad to be there with you. I'm really glad that you're out there listening to us. If you weren't, there'd be no reason for me to be doing what I do. So I'm so glad you're listening, and I'm so appreciative when you step up and give. You say, I value this so much that I'm willing to voluntarily give money to keep it happening. Thank you so much for doing that. If you have already, if not, get it started right now. It takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
888-202-2552. See, I got the phone number that time. WPR.org. Show your support the last day of the drive, the last time to show your support for Central Time. We appreciate you listening. We'll appreciate your gift. Again, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we take a look at the Boy Scouts of America's recent bankruptcy filing and what it means for the organization, local councils, and survivors of sexual abuse. First, it's the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Judith Sears-Poisson joins me in the studio. We don't have too much longer to ask for your support. Listener support is the single biggest piece of funding for all the programs you love. That's why your gift now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have just a little less than a half hour left in this hour, and we're looking for 13 more people to join in. You can make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
All of our programs here on the Ideas Network are listener-powered. That means that your donation right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On Central Time, you get the news of the day and also the interesting topics like why the decline in executive assistant jobs is similar to the loss of factory work, but doesn't get the same attention. We also recently learned about a play for young people in which a girl with autism was cast to play the lead, a character also on the autism spectrum. And we had a fun conversation about the fading ads painted on Milwaukee buildings decades ago. Central Time is your go-to place for an informative, interesting, and entertaining afternoon.
Your financial support is a big part of what makes these hours possible. Listener support is the single biggest piece of our funding at WPR. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine, like a cup of coffee or a snack from the vending machine, or maybe your gym membership or streaming service.
Consider the news, information, and inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. Maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month is the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs you enjoy every day.
You may not be thinking about t-shirts in February, but the new WPR t-shirt with its two-tone design on a forest-colored tee is waiting for you. Where will you show yours off?
When I drop my kids off at school, wear that to the grocery store.
Hiking, working out.
St. Paddy's Day Parade, it's definitely ready for March 17th.
You can wear your WPR t-shirt to so many places. Get yours now when you make a gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Give and get that t-shirt if you want at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears Poisson on this last day of our winter drive. Wisconsin Public Radio t-shirts are great. I'm wearing one right now. This
you
is
are.
One from a few years ago.
I like that one.
And it's still holding up pretty good. It's one of my favorite. We've got a new design that's great, too.
I really like the new one.
But this is a weird thing because I was wearing it all day, but I had a shirt over it. Then I took off that shirt because I was, you know, kind of warm. And everybody was like, what, did you change all your clothes? Like, no, I took off one shirt, but there was another shirt remaining, and it was Wisconsin Public Radio t-shirt. And I think that's what caught people's eye.
I think so.
Because it's wonderful to see people wearing Wisconsin Public Radio t-shirts. You can be one of those people when you give $10 a month or more and ask for the new, fancy new design of the WPR t-shirt at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's also because we all take our fashion cues from you.
Ooh.
So
that's the world is in trouble. When people start taking fashion cues from me.
Well, we know you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. You just tell us your name, contact information, how much you've decided to give, and how you'd like to pay for it.
It's quick, it's easy to do, and your gift right now really does help. Take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go even further by telling your friends and family.
Whether you use your social medias, you call them up, you mention it when you see them, just letting your friends and family know that you support Wisconsin Public Radio will help put that idea in their minds. It's a good kind of peer pressure. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Then brag about it to friends and family. Let them know how good it feels when you support the station that you enjoy.
We have about 20 minutes left in this hour, and we are looking for 13 more people to join in the last day of this winter member drive. You, yes, you, make WPR possible when you give. And you can give at WPR.org or give us a call, 888-202-2552.
On this last day of the drive, don't forget you are automatically entered when you donate to have one of five chances to win a $500 travel agency gift card. You don't have to contribute, by the way. You can go to WPR.org/drawing for details. Better yet, easier still, you're automatically entered when you give. Any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. By the way, if you're a sustainer, you provide those monthly gifts ongoing, you're already entered.
Ellen in Milwaukee says, I am admittedly a bit addicted to the programming on WPR. I learn, I laugh, I am inspired. Thank you. Well, thank you, Ellen. Ellen showed her support of WPR and the listening that teaches her, makes her laugh, and inspires her. You can do the same on this last day of our winter member drive. Show your support for WPR. Show your support for Central Time. Make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. The Boy Scouts of America will be allowed to keep operating after filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy last week. The organization made the move as it deals with potentially hundreds of sexual abuse allegations from over the past several decades. Boy Scouts President and Chief Executive Roger Mosby put out a statement shortly after the filing. He said, quote, the BSA cares deeply about all victims of abuse and sincerely apologizes to anyone who was harmed during their time in scouting, end quote. Chapter 11 allows the Scouts to reorganize their finances and create a trust fund to pay victims seeking compensation. The declaration also raises questions about what might happen to local Boy Scout councils, including the 10 here in Wisconsin. Samantha Schmidt covers gender and family issues for The Washington Post. She wrote about this issue. Samantha, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I think sometimes people hear the word bankruptcy and think that means it's all over. That's not the case here, right, for Boy Scouts of America. What does this Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing mean?
Right. This is just the beginning for the Boy Scouts in this ongoing saga and scandal over years, generations of child abuse allegations. And it really is seen as a solution to this onslaught of lawsuits because it allows them, as you said, to keep operating normally and while also finding a way to pay all of the claims that they are expecting. And so it creates they're planning on creating a trust, a victim compensation trust that will serve as the pot of money from which to pay all of these victims of all these cases. And so far, there's been over 200 that have been filed, lawsuits that have been filed, and they're expecting more than 1,000 potentially of claims coming forward. And importantly, it also sets a deadline by which those claims must be entered, because after that, it cuts off all of the possible claims and gives them a chance to take stock of what they have and figure out how to pay all of them.
Now, I understand from your reporting, part of the question of why this is happening now has to do with states overhauling their statute of limitations laws, in part because of accusations about Boy Scouts, the Catholic Church, and other organizations. Can you talk about what kind of impact that could have?
Yeah, we're already seeing that impact both in different Catholic dioceses and the Boy Scouts. There's states such as New York, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., they have made it possible for people to come forward with allegations from many years ago that previously weren't viable as lawsuits. But now they have this window of time during which they can actually file lawsuits based on allegations from back in the 70s. And that has really been what has opened the door to all of these lawsuits against the Boy Scouts. And it has been anticipated since December of 2018 that this wave of lawsuits would lead the Boy Scouts to potentially declare bankruptcy, because it's a solution that many Catholic dioceses, for example, have taken on to try to respond to these lawsuits. The USA Gymnastics also took this route as a way to handle various lawsuits against Larry Nassar. And it's seen as a convenient solution because it, again, sets that deadline and allows it to keep operating, whereas, some of these lawsuits could be completely crippling for organizations.
You were starting to touch on this, Samantha, but let's dig a little more into it. What will this mean for victims who are seeking compensation? What, based on what we know about this bankruptcy filing, would this mean for them in particular?
Right. It's hard to tell at this point what this will mean because it's so early on, and they're expecting this to be a really long and complicated process. But what we do know is that, first of all, it means that they have to come forward now. And we don't know what that deadline is yet, but pretty soon we'll find out what that bar date will be. And that means that, victims will have only months potentially to come forward with claims. And after that, they lose their chance. They lose their voice, which for many lawyers that I've talked to is a possible problem, because some victims might not be ready to come forward. This forces them to come public now with their claims. And then after that, it will be a more potentially equitable process of paying them all off, because they're going to kind of divvy up the money from this trust. But it's, in one way, it is seen as a way to kind of create a collective voice on behalf of all victims. But it does mean that for some people, they don't have that moment in front of a jury of peers in court to have their allegations heard and have their case heard. So for some people, that is a downside of this, but not everyone wants to see a case make it into a trial. And not everyone, will end up that way anyway, because so many cases are ultimately settled. So it's hard to tell exactly what this will mean, but in the short term, it means they have to come forward now.
Talking to Samantha Schmidt from the Washington Post, we're looking at the Boy Scouts of America filing for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, in large part due to widespread allegations of sexual abuse in the organization, spanning decades, really. Samantha, most people don't directly interact with the National Boy Scouts of America organization. They interact with one of the many local councils. Can you tell us how that all fits together and what that means in this bankruptcy filing?
I think that's one of the most interesting questions that this entire process will raise, because the Boy Scouts of America is it's not very transparent about how it's set up. And, you know, even talking to lawyers who've been studying them for years and years, it's hard to know where their assets are. And what we do know is that the majority of their assets are at these local councils and not at the national level. They're entirely legally independent. And the Boy Scouts made clear last week when they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy that only the national organization is filing for bankruptcy, and none of the local councils will be directly impacted by the bankruptcy filing. Those assets will be separate. However, talking to lawyers of some of these victims, they're skeptical that these local councils will be completely shielded from any liabilities, in large part because a lot of these lawsuits that have come forward so far do name some of those local councils, and even in some cases name the troops and the sponsoring organizations. So if you have a kid in Scouts, you know that it's usually, you know, they're meeting in churches or schools or firehouses. And those organizations are in some cases listed in lawsuits as well. And so for that reason, some lawyers are expecting this to be one of the most complicated bankruptcy proceedings in American history, at least when it comes to child abuse, because it has so many different people involved at many different levels. And because so many of these local councils are implicated in the lawsuits, it's hard to say whether they'll be able to completely be immune from any impact. I think that already at the local level, some Scout leaders are feeling worried that they might be involved in this in some way, and they might have to, contribute. And the Boy Scouts did say that they will have the opportunity to contribute to the Victim Compensation Trust. They just didn't say whether that will be required in any cases.
Now, here's one example of a local troop's response here. This is as reported by WXOW-TV. Joe Carlson, Scout Executive of the Gateway Area Council in La Crosse, said in a statement, quote, "Gateway Area Council has not filed for bankruptcy. Meetings and activities, district and council events, other scouting adventures, and countless service projects are taking place as usual. In short, there should be no change to the local scouting experience," end quote. So locals are trying, it sounds like, Samantha, to keep going with business as usual, even amidst this high-profile national bankruptcy filing.
Yeah, definitely. But I will say, having been talking to parents and Scouts for months now, in anticipation of this bankruptcy filing, it is in some cases really shaking people up. Over the summer and early in the fall, when there was that back to school recruitment push that always happens when you go to the back to school nights, I talked to some parents and some Scout leaders here in the DC, Maryland area who were a little worried that this would affect recruitment for their troops. Because not only because of the different allegations and lawsuits that have come forward, but it's just there's been a real decline in the Scouts in recent years. It's, in the last decade, there was a 26% decline in youth membership at the national level. So, I mean, I think this is shaking people up, and it's making people worried about the future of the organization, whether or not the local councils are financially impacted.
Do we know what the Scouts are doing at the national level or even at the local level to try to turn those numbers back around amidst this high-profile controversy?
Yes, actually, a very interesting and in some cases controversial move was last year they started allowing girls to join the organization, at least the namesake organization program, the Boy Scouts. As we all know, they have started allowing girls to join. And for the first time, girls will be able to start working towards an Eagle Scout rank, which is really significant. But that is, by some people seen, and particularly by the Girl Scouts, is seen as a move to sort of poach girls from other programs and to try to survive by, you know, recruiting members they didn't have before. But, you know, the Boy Scouts, when you ask them, they say that this makes a lot of sense and that girls have been, you know, participating in scouting alongside their brothers and fathers for years and years, and that this, you know, gives them a chance to work towards that same, Eagle Scout rank. There's actually been a lot of success, in particular here in the D.C. area. Hundreds and thousands of girls have joined the Boy Scouts since then. So that's seen as a possible way to help boost those numbers.
As you mentioned right off the bat, Samantha, this bankruptcy filing is not the end of the story. It's a key waypoint in a story that's far from over. What kind of details now are you watching for in the months to come?
I am really interested in seeing how the local councils will be affected. I'm hoping to see kind of how that shapes up and whether it keeps people from joining in some cases. I'm interested in seeing when that deadline will be for the claims from victims and whether, you know, they will be compensated and in a, you know, just an equitable way. I think I'm interested in seeing just how long this plays out and whether this actually changes the image of the Boy Scouts long term, because it really is still such an iconic organization. And even still, people are so connected to it. And I constantly am in hearing from people who say that they're Eagle Scouts, lifelong Eagle Scouts, their kids are in it, their grandparents were in it. It's such a symbol of Americana, really. And I wonder if that's going to be the case long term, if, you know, these lawsuits continue and this bankruptcy ends up really impeding on them in some way.
Samantha, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Samantha Schmidt covers gender and family issues for The Washington Post. We talked to her today about the Boy Scouts of America filing for bankruptcy protection amid sexual abuse allegations. The move allows the Scouts to continue operating as it reorganizes its finances and creates a trust fund to compensate victims. Now, Judith Sears-Poisson joins me in the studio for the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Last day of the drive. The clock is ticking for your chance to support your favorite programs here on the Ideas Network. $10 a month, $50 a month, whatever amount you give makes a difference. Donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Okay, this is our status. 5 more minutes left in the hour, and we are looking for 3 more people to join in to make the hourly goal. Thank you so much if you've already given.
If you haven't, do it now. There's not much time left at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You give now, and then your gift funds the programs you enjoy every day.
In that last segment, we found out why the National Boy Scouts organization has filed for bankruptcy, what it means, and whether that move is likely to have an impact on the local and regional scouting programs here in Wisconsin. We often have these kinds of conversations on Central Time, ones that take a national issue and put it through the lens of life in Wisconsin.
WPR is listener supported. That means your donation makes all these topics possible every day. Choose an amount that works for you and then give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can enjoy the 2020 USA-made WPR t-shirt. Rob is team hat. I am team t-shirt.
I like the shirt, too. I'm definitely going to get
the hat. Too, but yeah. Come on, Rob, play with me here. It has a two-tone geometric design. It's on a soft heather green tee, and it's printed right here in Wisconsin. So show off your WPR pride everywhere you go. Ask for your t-shirt when you make your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
You can support these great conversations right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support on this last day of this membership drive. Give any amount really does make a difference.
And as Rob said, this is the last day of the winter member drive. It ends at 7 o'clock tonight. Your financial support during this hour is so important to help the drive end successfully.
Picture this. You're listening tomorrow. This membership drive is over and you gave. And then you're listening tomorrow and you think, hey, wait a minute. This thing I'm listening right now, I helped pay for this. It's a great feeling. I hear it again and again from people. I'm a sustainer myself, Judith. I think
yep.
You are too. It really is a great feeling. You know, you're part of the team when you've given. Your support is ongoing. You are making that conversation possible, and you've joined thousands of people who have given over the years, over the decades, who have made Wisconsin Public Radio what it is, who made the Ideas Network possible when it first started, and keeping it going with shows like Central Time, now shows like Beta, and whatever the future might bring. How about you? Join that team, that amazing tradition, when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We are looking for three more gifts by the end of the hour to hit our goal. You can help us get there at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about when you first discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe a friend recommended the high-quality news, interesting discussions, great music, or fun weekend programs, or maybe you were just scanning the dial. However you first found us, we're glad that you did, and I'm betting it's safe to say that you're hooked.
That's right, and that means that maybe it's time for you to give. Go from being a listener to being a listener and a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now. Help us hit this goal. We're knocking on the door in the last few seconds. We can keep going into the news. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
888-202-2552. WPR.org. Show your support in this last day of the Winter Member Drive. Last chance to show your appreciation for Central Time. Again, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. And thank you.